Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production with your hosts, Badass Bob, Momentous Mark, and Warm-Hearted Wade. This week, the ministers of manliness pontify on the pitiful process of the trials and tribulations of the turbulent teen. Yes, it's time for Young and Stupid. Please prepare thy platitudes and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Distractable. My name is Bob, and I'm always this enthusiastic. Don't question it. I'm the host for today on this podcast, where we talk about whatever dumb shit comes to mind. Every episode, we stray a little further from any actual form of structure and wander off into the void of whatever random nonsense we decide to talk about. And by we, I mean myself as well as my co-hosts, Mark and Wade.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you fellows doing?
I'm good. Good. My monitor's broken. I just woke up and life is great.
Sounds good.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Alan allergies, but you know.
Alan allergies. Tell Alan to get out.
I had a major life restructuring revelation recently, but we don't have to talk about that right now.
I mean, I'm a little interested, but if you don't want to talk about that on
public forum.
No, you want to hear this one.
It's something I want to talk about.
Oh, go ahead.
Not that I already know it, but if I did, I would know you want to know it.
Yeah, so it all started with me eating a cup of blueberries, right? So ever since I was a child, I have swallowed food whole. I've made it a challenge to myself to see what kinds of foods I could swallow whole. When I was a kid, I would eat mini Chef Boyardee raviolis, and I got up to 3 mini raviolis before the pain in my throat became too much.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I was going to like rupture my esophagus. Now that I'm older and I'm an adult, I could probably handle like 5 or 6, but this has kind of spilled over into the rest of my life where every single food that I've eaten, I've not chewed properly. And I came to this realization because I was eating a cup of blueberries and I was reading up on some stuff about eating and, you know, like you should savor your food and you should really enjoy it, especially if you're like trying to eat healthier, stuff like that. So I ate this cup of blueberries and it blew my mind. Like I chewed for the first time for a long time. I really savored the flavor. I tried to think about what I was eating and I was trying to like taste every morsel of this blueberry. And it was the most incredible blueberry I've ever had in my life. It was so sweet. The flavor was like lightning bolts up into my brain. It was like zap, zap,
psh, psh. Oh, it was like Ratatouille animation.
Exactly. That's
all in
exactly what it is. I quoted Wade about this. I quoted Amy about this. I quoted everyone. It's exactly like Ratatouille when all the little beams of flavor started merging into jazz in your mind. And I was like, wow, that was a fantastic blueberry. That was a great cup of blueberries.
One cup.
Yeah, one cup of blueberries. I ate one cup. And then I had a little bit. I was doing some work until lunch. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go out and get some Chipotle. And I love Chipotle. I know I love Chipotle. I'm going to go out. I'm going to really savor the flavor. I'm going to think about what I'm eating. I'm going to really taste every ingredient because I know I like those ingredients individually. I'm going to love this burrito. I'm going to have a great time. And so I went to Chipotle and I walked out with a burrito and I was really trying to savor the flavor. I took one bite and I was like, I'm really going to chew this. And 30 seconds later, I came to the conclusion that it tasted like cardboard. And I was like, okay, maybe I just got some of the tortilla. Maybe the tortilla wasn't so good today. And that can happen, you know, whatever. I kept chewing and every bite, I did not like the burrito. I got a third of the way into the burrito and I stopped eating because I did not like what I was putting in my mouth. And this is the realization that I've had that at no point in my life throughout my history of eating have I really tasted what I was eating.
This episode of Distractable is sponsored by Chipotle. We're not sponsored by it. Sorry, Chipotle.
No, sorry, dude.
That's kind of sad.
It's kind of sad.
Like, not in a judgy way, but like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes I get food and I'm just like, and I inhale the entire meal in 2 seconds.
But what
you're saying, I've experienced many times. That's like the best thing when you take a bite of something and you're just like, oh,
yeah,
all these flavor.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No.
Ooh, it like hits different. You know, you take another bite or something.
I am learning
how to taste.
Exactly. No, I'm not lying. I'm learning how to taste because as I said in my childhood, I swallowed everything whole. And I realized that in every part of my life, in every food that I eat, in every weird quirk I have with food, it's because I'm trying to get an intense hit of flavor before it goes down my gullet. The reason I dip cheese in hot sauce, which is a thing I do. If you're listening to this podcast and you didn't know that,
I've seen it.
I do that.
I've seen it.
I dip cheese and salami and hot sauce. And it's not because I think it makes the cheese or salami better, or maybe I did. It's because there's no time for the flavor of the cheese to hit my mouth before I swallow it. And I realized this because I ate cheese by itself. Cheddar was okay. I didn't like it as much, but I actually chewed it and I did not eat a whole block of cheese by myself because it turns out three slices was enough. And then like I ate Swiss and I was like, I love Swiss. I love Swiss cheese. Tasted like ass in my mouth. I hated it and I couldn't believe I hated it.
I will say you gotta get good Swiss.
This was baby Swiss from Trader Joe's.
Well, but it can be waxy.
You're right,
it can have kind of a sourness to it.
It was waxy and sour. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta get the right kind. But yeah, no, that's weird.
I was eating other foods that I thought I liked. There's this truffle mac and cheese that's available at this restaurant down the way. And I love truffle and I love mac and cheese and I used to love that. But when I really tried to analyze the flavor, on first bite, I was like, oh, hell yeah. But then as I chewed it, I'm like, I don't like this food. It's not that it was bad. It wasn't repulsive. But I was like, I wouldn't pick this again. You know, it was very strange. It's like opening my mind to different flavors. Wade and I, we went out for wings and I was talking to him about this. And it was just like, I was like, oh, I'm so afraid. I'm so afraid that when I eat these wings, I'm not going to like them. And I did. But I didn't like them a lot like I used to. I was like, I ate most of the wings, but I was like, these wings are a little dry. You know, there's a reason Buffalo Joe's puts them in a bowl of sauce is because the wings are just a little dry. I'm trying new foods nowadays and I'm just like, I'm opening up to new experiences. And what it's doing is it's changing my entire relationship with eating in general. Like I now find myself looking forward to a meal as opposed to just snacks, because when I try snacks now, like they are not as rich and flavorful as I would like. They're satisfying that craving that I used to chase, which is like an instant hit of flavor as opposed to like a depth of like, I don't know if this is me growing up or maybe like I should have had this realization. Maybe every other human in existence knows about this, and I'm literally just an infantile child when it comes to eating food.
I just want to get a monthly segment where we get Mark's food updates, whether it's the bone broth or the slowly savoring food or the, I don't know. We need a monthly update of what Mark's new weird thing is he's doing with food.
Yeah.
Listen, man, food is interesting. Manny and I, for my birthday, went to a very fancy restaurant in San Francisco called Palette.
Yeah.
And it's like very upscale. We did like the tasting menu. It was the most extravagant like eating experience maybe I've ever had among them. But I think it's the first time I've ever teared up over food, which was interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Most of the dishes is a preset tasting menu, right? So you get to pick a couple things. Basically, they bring you like a couple appetizers, a couple little like amuse-bouche treat sort of things from the kit. And then they give you like an entree and a dessert. And most of the stuff was good. It was very good. It was very fancy. Kind of all these cool ingredients. But one of the appetizers I got was this little like smoked salmon thing, and it was covered in like scales of like thinly sliced radishes. They set it in front of me and I looked at it and I was like, wow, this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I almost didn't want to eat it. And then I took a bite and I like food. I've eaten a lot of food and I feel like I eat garbage, but I also appreciate good like quality food, quality ingredients. I took a bite and involuntarily one of my eyes just teared up. And as I was eating, it was just like all of these flavors. It was a new experience.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's that weird.
Yeah.
I think the swallowing food whole thing maybe is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I just have a vision of like child Mark and the babysitter shows up at the door and your parents are like, okay, this is a weird thing. You can't feed him anything that he couldn't swallow whole. And the babysitter's like, what the fuck does that mean? And your parents are just like, cut it up, get small stuff, whatever it is. If he wants to eat, that's fine. Just don't feed him anything that he would choke on if he didn't chew it.
Yeah.
And the babysitter's like, okay, yeah, whatever. And like 2 hours later, Mark's like, I want a snack. And the babysitter's like, there's some like fruit in the kitchen. There's an apple. Grab an apple. Mark goes to the kitchen, faces down the apple, and is like, my biggest challenge. I've never eaten an apple before. It's not as wide as my neck. It'll fit.
Yeah, I had a thick neck even as a child. But you're not far off from the truth. I just didn't realize how much this spilled over. And it made me realize, like, Amy took me out for our anniversary dinner and we had Wagyu, which is, if you don't know what Wagyu is, it's like this very, very, very expensive beef from Japan. And my biggest complaint, I think I told you guys about it, was like, oh, but, you know, I'd rather have a 16-ounce ribeye versus 4 ounces of Wagyu. I probably didn't even taste the Wagyu.
Oh, that's so sad.
I think I just choo-choo-choo and then gone. And I'm like, that was okay. Oh, I know!
You got a 4-ounce Wagyu steak, and in the back of your mind, you were like, if we weren't in public, I could absolutely swallow this whole. But Amy's here. I'll pretend. And you like cut it into pieces.
Yeah, you guys don't know, but in my day-to-day life before this revelation, I had an Iron Man overlay that was constantly analyzing what I could swallow whole to see a vending machine and being like, I know I could swallow everything in the vending machine, but how about the machine itself?
I think it might have been a little buggy.
All right. Well, I mean, Wade, if you have any revelations you want to talk about, it seems only fair to extend the offer.
I'm a little concerned that maybe there's a happy middle in how long you should chew.
Dude, we could have a 2-hour episode. People would love it.
We don't even have to. I have a topic, but it's not, I'll be honest, it's not amazing. It's only okay. We'll see where it goes. But I'm happy to talk about Mark's food revelations.
Anything? Yeah, I just wonder, Mark, have you tried it with bone broth yet?
I have not had bone broth. Literally, this happened like a week ago. I'm not joking.
That's wild.
I thought you had like at least 2 bone broths a day.
I mean, I do enjoy bone broth, but it's different with soups because I went out, we had shabu shabu, and like the broth itself, like it's hard to like hold broth in your mouth because it's hot.
Yeah, just swirl it around like you're rinsing your mouth out with mouthwash. Just gargle it a little bit.
Like a sommelier. I love going to a soup tasting and then you eat the soup that everyone spits into the bucket afterwards. Yeah. That's the best soup.
It has all the flavors of all the soups. It's like eating every great soup at once.
I know.
It saves time and energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know when humans started kissing or exchanging saliva, but maybe the real trick is have someone else savor your food for you and then spit it into your mouth and then you savor it for a while and swallow it.
You know, that's the truth. That is the hard truth right there. That is the absolute truth.
Come back next week, everyone, and we'll find out how Mark likes having his food chewed for him and spat into his mouth after being savored for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I heard Bezos has a food trier. That exact system. Orders up whatever, food shows up, food trier takes a bite, looks at Jeff, thumbs up, thumbs down. Uh-huh. If thumbs up, Jeff opens to receive, and the food taster, mama birds it right on in there.
Yeah, Jeff couldn't go to space before all of his pre-chewed food was packed up in there. opens a tub for the other astronauts. He's like, hey, you want a treat?
One of the crew for that, that had the whole backstory, they were actually just Bezos's food taster in case he wanted a space treat. Okay. He didn't know what it's going to be like in space. Maybe you get real hungry in zero gravity.
Yeah.
Microgravity, whatever.
You know, I probably would be the best food taster because I would swallow it all whole, and that way it'd be nice and ready for him. You know, it wouldn't be too soft.
Just keep it. All right, what'd you swallow for this flight? Granola bar, a whole bag of chips, a steak if he's feeling fancy. Get up there. Jeff is like, chips. And you're like, of course. Scratchy chips. All right, hang on a sec.
I like that I've got such great control of my esophagus and stomach that I can just sort things around and get them up at random.
Oh, absolutely.
I am a human vending machine.
I also like the begrudging chewer who's, oh, God, of course, that's what he wants. That's what he wants.
Never wants the Jell-O cup back. Nice and easy. Get that one out. No, he wants the chips.
Oh, God.
He wants the breadstick. You know how long those things are?
He wants the breadstick.
Anyway, I am the host, and I do declare that's enough of that.
All right.
I'm glad you're enjoying food, Mark, though. That sounds like quite the change in your experience.
It is.
It sounds like he's not. He hates most of the food he used to like.
But that's legit, though. You don't have to like everything.
Yeah, but I'm liking things that I didn't usually used to appreciate.
How do you feel about tacos?
I could go on about it. I won't keep blabbering. I'll give you an update when I have
what
something.
About tacos? I need to know.
I haven't had a chance to have a taco yet.
Oh, okay.
I need to find out how bad they are. Have a taco.
Oh, man.
Ooh, if you don't like, if you savor a taco and you hate it, that's going to shatter something.
I'm so hopeful.
It might. But there's so many different types of tacos that you can't. Anyway, I'll say one thing. We went to kind of like this hipster Mexican place while I was in Cincinnati. And I just got like the chips and salsa trio because I had gone to Cracker Barrel to see if it was still my favorite food. It's still good. I still liked it.
Oh, okay.
But I think it wasn't exactly the richest flavor, but it was so familiar that I still loved it. And we got this sauce trio and it was like, you know, like normal red salsa, green salsa, and then there was this like super fancy peanut based like puree with pumpkin seeds on the top, and it was like really fancy. Ordinarily I would just go for the red and the green, and at first try I dipped in the peanut one and I tasted it and I was like, okay, it wasn't very good. And then I realized I didn't actually chew it, and then I went to the red and green, and then I went back to the peanut one, and I was just like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like it took me a second because I had to shift my brain into the right gear to be like, oh, I need to actually taste this and not just hork it down, because it was just chips, and ordinarily it's like such a habit for me to do that. Anyway, I'm not going to blabber on about this, but it's just like, it is strange. Things change.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give an update. I'll make a feature. I'll make a, you know, one of my,
one of your intros.
I'll make one of those for my meal updates. Actually, this one would work for it, because it's in a world full of dark. Oh, that's the greatest news one.
I turned around and then behind me was a plate of beets.
I want to make so many of those. I love making them.
Okay, listen. I'm going to steer this very slightly in a direction and we'll see where it goes. Today's topic is, maybe it's more of a prompt, things kids do where they think they're outsmarting their parents. And this is inspired by a memory that I had. I forget if I talked about this with you guys or who. It's 2002. I'm in middle school. It's a school night, and I'm in my bedroom. The rules in my house were I didn't get a TV in my room. Some of my friends had that. I didn't have that growing up. I was allowed a radio in my room, but had to be off by a certain time.
Oh, weird.
I was supposed to be in bed and asleep, you know, lights out, quiet, at a set time. I think it was like 9:30 or something. It was not super early, not super late, middle of the road. It's like a Wednesday night, and I'm in my room, and I've got my Backstreet Boys CD and my Britney Spears CD.
Oh, yeah.
And my little CD player in my bedroom. And I've pulled it, it's usually on my dresser. I've pulled it over onto my bed and I've turned the volume way down and I've pulled the covers over. I've got Backstreet Boys in there right now and I'm jamming out,
yeah,
having a great time. It's like 10:15, 10:16 p.m., living it up. And I hear from down the hall, squeak. My parents' door opens, steps down the hall, coming to my door, coming to check. As they get closer, very casually, click. Turn off the CD player, pull the lights, the little pull cord on the light next to my bed, perfectly silent. I hear my parents lean up to my door, have a listen. Maybe they heard the CD, they don't know. I hear my door open and squeak just a little. And then that little sliver of light shoots across the floor.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly still, silent. I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is happening. The parent buys it. Door closes. They walk back down, close their door, go watch their TV, which they have in their bedroom, which doesn't seem very fair. Turn the CD back on. Continue jamming out to Backstreet Boys. Adult successfully duped. They have no idea.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you the story from my parents' perspective. My dad is in the bathroom doing whatever, brushing his teeth, getting ready. He leans out the hallway and he hears from my room like, he's like, ah, fucking Bob's listening to the goddamn CD again. Comes down the hallway. He hears click, swing, gets to my door and is like, okay, well, he's pretending to be asleep. Leans in, looks, and is like, he's laying still. He's doing it correctly. Okay. I'm not going to engage with this. I'm just going to let him do. He leaves, closes the door, goes back, walks in, says to my mom, he's listening to CDs. He's going to be grumpy in the morning. He's staying up late.
Mm-hmm.
Do we do it? And mom is like, no, not tonight. Can't tonight. And my parents proceed to watch the news and go to bed. I think I am a stealth mastermind.
Right.
My parents think I'm a moron who's going to be sleepy tomorrow. How many times in your life do you think this has happened?
A lot.
Is there anything that you as a kid thought you were just the smartest super spy and got away with? Because I feel like that was my entire life.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that's my presentation. Best to that.
Yeah.
I challenge you.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I've got one that's very similar, but, you know, wait, if you've got one too. I've kind of hogged the time today.
I didn't really have to be all that sneaky because my mom was, like, super chill with pretty much any... I mean, she wanted to, like, take me to the strip club the first time, and she was like, oh, if you want to try pot. Like, my mom was just, like, chill. Man. She's like, if you want to do stuff, I don't care. Because I was a good kid, and I got good grades and stuff, so, like, I had very few actual rules, and I got in trouble, like, maybe three times ever that I remember. So I didn't really have to be sneaky. I do remember, I can't remember if it was my nephews or who it was, used to like try to push limits. They had like this toy, this like this little like cowboy toy thing, and they would intentionally like spill something on the table, and then like they'd be like, did you spill that? And they'd be like, no, it was, I forgot the fucking cowboy's name, it was Cowboy Mitchell spilled it. And like, oh, okay, well, is Mitchell gonna clean it up? Oh, I don't know, I see, like, I don't know. But he would always like try to push limits and then blame it like on his toy, and like the parent would play along or whatever, and the parent very obviously knew what was going on, but I guess they just wanted to see how far this would go. And it went for a while, like at least a couple months probably, where they were just like doing different things. Yeah. I'll have to think on if I ever had to try to get away with something. Cause like I said, normally I was just like, my mom was disappointed that I wasn't more evil.
Yeah. I got a quick one. It's a very short story, but I used to play World of Warcraft a lot as a kid. And I had a bedtime, of course, cause my dad, very strict about bedtimes. And my guild was raiding. It was like the first raid. It was Molten Core. I was really excited about it because I just hit level 60. I was ready to go. I was part of it, and I was just like, I was so into it. But they raided at 10 o'clock at night. So that was my bedtime. So I made a big plan. I was gonna go to bed early. I was gonna be like, hey dad, I'm going to bed, I'm ready for getting up early on a Saturday. Like, don't you worry about me, I'm gonna be at it. Because like the bedtime didn't matter if it was weekend or weekday, it was just like it was the same, because he was like,
oh, if that's mean.
Well, because his philosophy, if I stayed up late on the weekend, then Monday like my whole sleep schedule was gonna be shot, so I might as well keep it consistent, which makes logical sense, but also was kind of strict.
That's mean.
Imagine having a bedtime.
At 9:30, I was like, I'm going to bed, I'm going to, and then I go to bed, and he goes to bed at 10 o'clock too, so, you know, he falls asleep. And so, you know, when all the lights go out in the house, I sneak downstairs, much in the similar way that I did to sneak out of the house, but this was prior to that, I think. And I sneak down to the basement, and I start playing. Like, I log in, I'm down in the basement. Once I'm down in the basement, I feel like I'm fine. You know, I got headphones, it's not like I'm blasting sound anyway. And I get into Molten Core, and it's fantastic. You know, it's wonderful. Like, we beat the first boss, you know, it's great. We're going off to the third one. But as we go off to the third one, I hear someone walking downstairs from above me, just like the floorboards creaking, like squeak, squonk, squeak. And I'm like, oh, holy shit. So in my genius, what I did was, because I didn't want to let down my guild either, because I was a tank, you know, I was kind of important. So I set myself to auto run into a wall to make it look like I was disconnecting. And so I just set myself to auto run into a wall. I turned off my monitor. I couldn't turn off the light because it was too far away. There was no way that I could do that. But I turned off the monitor to the computer, and I ran around. We had this like little bar area, and behind it, you know, there were some cabinets underneath for storage. And I didn't even know if there was something in there, but I opened the cabinet and I just shoved myself in there, and I slammed the door, and I just held my breath, and I heard the footsteps stepping down the basement stairs, like squeak, squonk, squeak, squonk. And I heard my dad peer around the corner, and he called my name, and I just was in this dark cupboard, like Harry Potter under the stairs ass cupboard. And it was like, just, I was so cramped in there because there was like bottles and shit around me that if I moved, they would clank. And I heard him like walk up to the bar, which I'm behind, and I heard him looking around, calling my name again. Just real creepy, like he was like, Mark? You know? And he creeps around the bar area. And like I said, Harry Potter under the stairs, there was that storage. I was not in there. I was in a cabinet under the bar. I hear him like gingerly open the door and peer into there. And he's like, And then he closes his door, walks out, and goes back upstairs. And I was like, oh, I'm good. And I get out of there and I go to my computer and I try to log back in, but I see that I've been kicked out of the raid group because obviously, like, you know, I'm like, ah, shit, well, I can't come back. And so I go upstairs. My dad is waiting at my bedroom door for me.
Whoops. So,
like, and what I realized was I was not sneaky at all, because as I must have sprinted underneath, he must have heard like a cryptid going like, like, so he knew something was down there. And, you know, he's a smart guy. He figured that I had to come up eventually. So, yeah, I got in a lot of trouble for that. I didn't raid for a while.
That's really funny. Yeah. I love that from your perspective, it's like a vignette from like a horror movie.
Yeah. Oh, my God, it was.
You're just in the darkness of the closet and your dad's outside just like, Mark.
Dude, like,
where are you?
Not lying. I can feel the anxiety that I felt that night right now. Just like remembering being in that cupboard. I don't even see it as a memory from inside the cupboard. I see it as a memory from me looking, seeing the basement room around and him creeping
out
there.
Out of body experience.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, that was terrifying.
I like how we justify all the noise we make and assume that they just can't hear us. The two things you guys stories have in common is you made a fuck ton of noise and you're both like, nah, no way they heard that.
No,
I mean,
way.
That's how kids are though. Like, so one, that feeling, that anxiety feeling of like hiding.
Yeah,
this is gonna sound creepy and I'll expand on this. I still do that just for the rush, I think, because I'm still a huge child.
Yeah,
because my job is this,
of course.
But also, kids are so noisy. I worked in a school after college. Before I went to law school, I worked in a K-12 public school. And kids, that's how kids are, man. They think sound doesn't travel beyond their own ears or something.
Yeah.
The high school kids in the school that I worked at were difficult. Middle school and high school kids are terrible. Middle school kids are mean. High school kids think they're adults and they're a-holes. But the K through like five kids are hilarious. Mm-hmm. I love those kids. And they're really funny. Their parents are tough to deal with. But the kids, like, I worked in the front office, right? I wasn't a teacher. I was the staff at the school. I worked in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a hallway to the door to the office. And you would hear like two kids got sent to the office to get in trouble, right? So they're coming down and you just hear them like, hey, God, man, put in your bag. Man, now you hide it. And then they walk in and they're like stone silent. And I look at them and I'm like, what are you hiding? Like, we ain't hiding nothing. Like, I fucking, like, you were 10 feet away from me around a corner through an open door talking about hiding something in your backpack. I'm going to pretend like I'm figuring this out like a detective so that you're so shocked. But, like, kids have no concept. And, I mean, they're kids. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
But, so, the other thing, the anxiety of, like, hiding thing. I don't know if anyone else does this. I did this, like, as recently as last week. Do you ever just, like, hide somewhere?
Hide somewhere?
Like, so, Mandy and I live together, right? And I can, our house, the floors don't creak, but, like, you can kind of tell when someone's walking around. You can kind of hear movement in the house.
Sure.
And so, I can tell if Mandy's, like, coming over to my area of the house, if I'm streaming or if I'm in the bedroom or whatever, if we're separate. And, like, sometimes I'll hear her coming and it's a time where I'm like, oh, it's about to be lunch. She's probably coming to ask what we should do for lunch, or, you know, she's probably looking for me or whatever. And I'll just like pick a spot. I don't hide in a cabinet. I'm not that small anymore, but I'll just like pick a spot around the corner. And so, you know, she'll come and be like, hey, honey, you, oh. And like, she'll think I'm not in the room, but I am in the room.
Oh yeah.
I'm just around the corner. It's that same feeling of like, ooh, is she going to look over here? She doesn't even know. And you like peek around the corner, you know, you peek one eye around the corner and you're like, yeah, she's there.
Yeah.
Huh? I still do that at any given opportunity, and not in like a creepy way. Maybe it is creepy, but just for the rush of it.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone do that? Is that just me? Am I just a weird kid?
I drive over to my mom's house and I go inside and I just pick a cupboard to hide in for no reason. I didn't even know I'm there.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought I was the only one. Yeah. I went over to Cincinnati this past weekend and I didn't tell anyone I was going to show up until I was there. It was great.
Yeah. Fucking Wednesday night, I get a text from Mark, and all it's, I'm in the middle of a stream and I looked down at my phone, I'm like, oh, Mark's texting me, I wonder what's up. And all it says is, I'm close, ...
Oh no, it's meant for Amy.
I was like, close to my house, close to the breaking point, close to what?
No, I really thought, like, because I followed up with I'm closer with my next one. And I really thought about committing to the bit and just going to his house and taking a picture from the outside and sending it to him. I really considered it, but I was so
That would be so funny.
I know, man, I should have done it.
God, that would be so funny.
And then you could have hidden, and I could have had to look for you.
Exactly.
Could have found the spare key and snuck inside.
Oh, yeah. And then take pictures from inside, and then take pictures when you're sleeping and send it to you.
No, what you got to do is you got to sneak into Wade's house and just start pouring cups of water around the bases of all the toilets.
Oh, fucking goddammit, no.
Wade walks into a dark bathroom, flicks the lights on, and there's like 16 ounces of water on the floor, and he's like, no!
Yeah.
You're new! You guys remember when Wade's toilet leaked water for like 2 years straight?
Yes, I did.
Just this year, I had to replace all the toilets. It happened again this year.
Dude, my mind was blown because I was on TikTok just browsing and I saw someone in a drowned man's shirt. Oh. And it was just like, they were doing a completely different bit, not related. They were just wearing it casually. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh,
oh my God.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very weird. Yeah. I have another one in relation to your original topic, and then I have a follow-up one that is only tangentially related. It's not a follow-up.
Let's get Wade an elbow.
All right,
in
okay.
Here. You got anything, Wade?
I'm here to win.
Goody two shoes.
No, I've been thinking on it, but I mean, all I can really think of is stuff that other people have done. I myself did not have to be sneaky.
You've never hidden from anyone.
No,
ever?
Yeah, I mean, I do that kind of stuff. Like Molly will come in and like grab my ankle whenever I'm streaming a horror game, so I'll try to like sneak around to scare her and stuff like that, but that's really just like us being evil to each other.
How does she get in?
Well, my door's wide open.
Oh,
so
okay.
She walks
that's pretty
in.
Impressive, though.
That's pretty funny, actually. I like that.
But she usually gets on all fours and crawls, and then, so that way I can't see her. Because my headphones are pretty good. I usually have my volume way up, especially if I'm doing horror games. So that way, like, scare notifications and stuff really loud.
Uh-huh.
So she can walk down the stairs without me really noticing. And so usually, she can get in here without me having any idea. And I don't know how long she waits. I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be playing a horror game for a while, and then, like, somehow she knows when it's, like, at its tensest moment. And it's not like a light tap or any of the noise. It's just there's a hand grabbing my ankle out of nowhere. It's so fucking scary every time.
One time, she should just bite your leg.
I would probably kick her and like break her teeth.
Worth it.
Yeah.
And then I'd be the one in trouble.
Well, don't you deserve it?
Yeah, don't you deserve it? Did you ever think about that?
I don't know.
If there's anything I've learned about being married, it's that I'm wrong and I deserve this.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Mandy, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. That was wrong to say.
Interesting.
I deserve this.
Okay, so I have another one. This is when I was even younger. I think it was in like fourth grade. No, it was fifth grade because I was in Maine. I was participating in the egg drop competition. Wait, were you at Maine?
Only for sixth.
Okay, all right. So I think it was fifth grade in Maine. And obviously my design sucked. Like at this point I had just come into the public school system for a year. I'd been in like this private religious school for a while. Calvary Christian Academy. And then I came over to public school. And so I didn't have any friends. And so the people that I was partnered up with didn't do any work. I was just like doing it on my own. It failed miserably and I was so sad. But I noticed that they kept the box of first place ribbons out on the stage behind us because we were on in like the auditorium on the stage. And the box was just sitting there. There was no one by the box. So I thought that if I moved slow enough and walked backwards towards it, I would be able to, without anyone knowing, because I could keep everyone like in view as I go over there. I slowly stepped backwards towards the table where the box was, and I reached my hand, like my hands were stick by my sides, like just right down by my legs, just like, and I was walking backwards like a robot. And then I kind of like gingerly lifted first my fingers, then my hand, and then my forearm, and then my arm, and I snaked my way over to the box, and I like wasn't looking at it because I couldn't look at it because that would be too obvious.
Mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
I grabbed a ribbon and I snaked my arm back like a Inspector Gadget retracting his arm. And I stuffed it into my pocket in one smooth motion that completely crumpled the ribbon into my pocket and then my hand down back at my side. And then I slowly walked forward back towards where they were doing the egg drop. This is how big of an idiot I am. There were people in the audience.
Yeah.
So the stage, you know, the seats there for the audience watching the egg drop, and then like the table is there at the front of the stage. The egg drop is at the back of the stage. So the front is where the table is. There were dozens of people that saw me slowly walk backwards like a freaking weirdo, snake my arm into the first place ribbon box, and then stuff it in my pocket. pocket, and then I walked away. Just like, for me, I thought I was Drax, you know, just if I move slow enough, no one could possibly see what I was doing.
So for you, like, the James Bond theme is playing, and for them, the Benny Hill theme is playing.
You just know all the kids in the audience saw that and were like, wow, smooth.
So brave.
Wow, look at this guy. And then all the teachers in the audience were just like, wow, sad. Let's let him keep it. They all looked at each other and like silently nodded.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor guy's probably never won a thing in his life.
Let him keep it. It's meaningless anyway. He can have one.
I think that's exactly what happened because I was
sad. Did you just keep it?
I did. Yeah, no one stopped me, but I realized because when I went back there and I turned and looked, there were people looking at me in the audience just like, they can't know. And oh, I remember when I got picked up by my dad from this from school that day. He asked how the egg drop went, and I just nodded my head like I didn't speak out loud how it did. And I slowly reached into my pocket and I pulled out this really crumpled first place. I just handed it to him, and like he said, "Oh, good job." And then I just nodded my head and looked straight forward in the car.
You moved like you did when you were stealing the ribbon the whole rest of the day. Every movement was just like, yeah.
Overwhelming guilt riding down.
Yes, the guilt was the hardest part.
You did like wrestling and stuff too. Do you have any wrestling? Do you have any wrestling trophies that are like the wrong name is on there? It's like, oh, Michael Thomas, first place. Like, no, this is my trophy, Dad. I got this one. I earned it.
I reached into my pocket. I pulled out a crumpled metal trophy and just handed it to him.
Someone else's name engraved in the front.
You pull out the crumpled metal trophy and you shake it and it reinflates to a full metal three-dimensional trophy. Like, yep, that's mine.
Yeah, hell of a trick.
Yeah, you were at the meet, Dad, but I actually won it.
Remember how I was on my back and he was on top of me and the guy's like, 1, 2, 3, and then he raised the other kid's hand? That was all just a joke. I won that.
Sounds like we're getting scarily close to reality here.
Oh my god.
When you said good job, I was looking to try to find other interesting stories since I didn't really have any about the kids thing. I came across this like things parents should never say to their kids. Mm-hmm. Guess what the number one thing on this list is that you should never say to a kid?
I love you.
You're not far off. It's not I love you. It's I'm proud of you.
What?
Instead, this psychologist argues, instead of giving them blanket statements of encouragement, you should just say, good for you. Instead.
Oh my God.
This is a serious article.
That's the most passive-aggressive shit I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
Instead of making your child feel responsible for your parental pride.
Responsible for your parental pride? What does that even mean?
I don't know. The second thing on the list is good job.
Good job.
And so, why is this?
Good for you.
Love something your child did. It's far more helpful for encouragement and building self-esteem if you focus on how they achieved whatever they accomplished. So instead of saying good job, say you got all A's. You must have worked really hard. I liked the way you passed the ball so your teammate could score. Sounds so like, instead of shooting the ball, I'm proud of you for not shooting the ball yourself.
I know that it's apparent to a kid, so like some level of condescension is built into that interaction, I guess. Yeah. But that has got to be the most condescending shit I've ever heard.
That's hilarious.
You pay up your kid like, yeah, I won my race. I won at the track meet today. I won my race. Wow. I like the way you ran so fast that you finished first. Good for you. Fuck, God. Even a kid would pick up how cutting that is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kids aren't nearly as stupid as we think we are, but they're also just as stupid as we think we are. They are. We are.
I think if you want to tell your kid that you're proud of them, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You just have to really cut that with making sure that when you're not proud of them, you also let them know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, if that's how you feel, Bob, then good for you.
Oh.
No, don't worry. This Dr. Pickhart told me to say that to you. It'll make you feel better.
Damn.
That's really deflating, even from you to me, which is not a meaningful conversation about anything.
Being told by my grandparents and parents were proud of me is like one of the best things I had growing up. Like I leaned onto that sometimes. If I was like, I did this thing, guys, I finally, my first time I ever got straight A's. Good for you.
The way you did what you were supposed to and got straight A's, honey.
Yeah.
Good for you.
For some reason, my parents have been replaced by Bob's head, and he's just like, good for you. Oh, wow.
Dude, if I had ever done anything that made my parents proud, I would have probably loved hearing them tell me they were proud of me.
Instead of just, hey, good for you.
I didn't even say that. Anything I ever did was probably pretty bad or pretty stupid as a kid, and they were just like, ah, get in the car.
Now, Robert, you will never live up to the expectations we had for you when you were born.
Hey, listen, my brother's the good kid. I'm the funny one. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got.
All right, that's fair.
That's all I have. So no one better ever say anyone else is funnier than me, because that's the only thing I have.
Oof.
Okay.
So you've got nothing. That sucks.
I've got one more thing that I'm going to so tangentially related, but I got to say, because
sorry, Bob, good for
it's
tough.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It feels good.
It's slightly topical because I don't respect either party in this, but you know, there was a recent cryptocurrency thing. And the reason I'm going to relate this is because like, it's like new money trying to be smarter than old money, but also crypto creates some of the funniest fails I've ever seen. There was recently a Squid Game cryptocurrency. I forget if it was an NFT or if it was just a straight up cryptocurrency, but it was this token that was supposed to be, you can buy it, but you can't sell it for 3 years. Like it was locked up until 2024. Mm. And it was recently up to apparently a market cap of $2 trillion. And then in literally a minute, like less seconds, it went from like a $4 per token to zero.
Oh man.
Just zero. And what this is called is a rug pull, when the makers of this cryptocurrency cashed out because they control it and no one else, like it's just a fucking scam. And so everyone got all their money that they put into this token ripped away. Now that's not saying 2 trillion got put into it. I think it was something in the range of a couple million.
Sure.
But still, a lot of people lost a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm no crypto expert, but basically someone created that coin. They kept the majority of the coins, mm-hmm. which were valueless, yep. until they got people to buy them, yes. on the market, which created,
yes.
value per token, which created the cap.
Yes.
But then someone owned what was previously valueless code was now worth $4 or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that's legal. I have no idea what laws or regulations cover this. That seems so illegal.
It definitely would be if crypto was in any way regulated, which, you know, if you ask crypto people, they're like, that's the whole point of crypto, so it's not regulated. But then you ask anyone else who's able to trade this on the open market and now it's getting legitimacy, they're
but
like,
that's still fraud. Oh, like that's actually just fraud.
Maybe
they advertised something where they were like, buy this, no one can sell these things, they will be valuable investments for a minimum of 3 years, they cannot be traded or sold or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then they violated what was fundamentally the only term of anyone's agreement to invest in it.
Uh-huh.
That seems like regular old fraud to me. That seems so fucking illegal.
Probably.
But hey, they got away with it. Good for them.
Yeah, you know what? That's how it works. They got the money. Good for them.
Oh my God. There was another
I'm proud
thing
of
that
them.
Came.
No, I'm not proud of them. I forgot the rule.
There was someone that, like, I don't know if it was because of this or something else, but it was someone that had their cryptocurrency stolen. And so they tasked these other people to help track it down because they offered and they were like, we can help get it back. We'll split whatever we get back. They got it back. And then they just took all the cryptocurrency and ran with it. Like, and so this guy posted a letter that was just like a handwritten letter that was like, please, if you know anything about this, contact me at this. And then someone took a picture of that letter and made an NFT about it and sold it for $100.
Oh my God, that's so messed up.
I know, right?
Dude, NFTs are wild, man. Oh, I don't know what they are or why they're worth any money at all, but apparently they're worth either $5 or $9 million.
Yeah, apparently.
Are NFTs the things that are killing the rainforest everyone's all mad about? Or that?
And I think we should just take some pictures of our elbows or something and make some distractible NFTs, because I want some of that free money they're printing, man.
Yeah, free money. Free money just out of thin air. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, couldn't we sell a picture of each distractible episode or something?
Yeah, we could sell an MP3, I think.
Yeah, each episode is actually an individual NFT. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
How much are each of our episodes worth as NFTs?
Nothing.
Nothing.
But they exist.
Nothing right now, anyway.
Well, that means we could tell them it's worth something, right? Isn't that the way this is working?
That's what all currency is. It's just us interpreted value. It's what we apply to it. It's what's We all agree what something is worth.
Oh, then each episode's worth at least $1 million.
Oh, sure.
Probably, yeah. Makes sense to me.
Sure.
Who's buying out there? Chat, audience, viewers, listen.
Yes, chat.
Keep trying. Keep going.
Our ecstatic grest.
You landed on grests.
I put guests and breasts together and I couldn't get away from it.
Well,
who's paying? You get a commemorative thank you.
You get a commemorative thank you? What does that even mean?
That's all I have to offer, man.
It's a unique commemorative thank you.
Oh, right.
It's kind of like stealing a first place ribbon, Mark. You can take the commemorative thank you, you can put it in your pocket.
Crumple it up, uncrumple it.
Hand it to your dad while you stare dead face straight forward on the car ride home from school.
And then he'll say, wow. Good for you.
Yeah, good for you. Good for we.
As the host, I feel it is my responsibility to pretend that I was keeping track of points this whole time and now decide who wins. No segue into the end, just crashing into it.
Okay.
Like the disaster that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wade didn't really contribute anything.
That is accurate.
For like the first 2/3 of the whole thing, Mark had a lot of great stories, funny interactions.
I had an easy childhood. Good for me.
Yeah, Wade was just a boring old goody two shoes. But for traumatizing me for the rest of my life and putting it into my head that I'm definitely at some point later in my life with my kids going to remember this and just one time to them be like, good for you, buddy, just to see what happens. I think Wade wins.
I say this is bullshit. I protest.
Mark really carried the load. Mark bared his soul, told a lot of great personal stories, anecdotes, but you know what?
Hey, good job, Mark.
Yeah, good for you, Mark.
Good for you. Oh, God.
Or I mean, Mark, you managed to have the best stories and still lose. You must have not tried hard enough.
Yeah, I really like the way that you told all those stories in a way that made me not want to make you win somehow. Good for you, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Mark, I like how you dropped the ball so that your friend Wade could win.
Okay.
Good for you.
Thank you.
And yeah, so do you have a victory speech or anything, Wade? Do you feel like you deserve this? Earned it? Worked hard for it?
Yeah, if you want to have the best kids ever, set no rules. Just tell them you're proud of them all the time, and then they'll get straight A's and end up like me. And if not, then, well, there's always the church steps. Whoa.
The Count Frollo approach, yeah.
Frollo! Yeet! Wait, that's a person, not YOLO.
Dude, Frollo. French people only live once.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Frollo, but it always makes me want those chocolate caramel things, the Rollos. Never hear that name.
All I can think of when we talk about Frollo is the song where he sings about wanting to have sex with Esmeralda.
Oh, yeah.
And the end where he's all, she will be mine, or she will... And it's just fire. My favorite part of that movie. It's about sex. That song's about sex with Esmeralda. Kids movie, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So either she gets to have sex with him or be lit on fire?
Yeah, that's
yeah
it. She will be his or she will ah.
She will ah.
How hot's the fire?
Not fire hot.
It's as hot as fire gets.
Yeah.
Fire temperatures.
Is the hottest fire, mm-hmm, is it blue or green?
I don't think it's either of those. I don't think green is an indication of
is
temperature.
Is it yellow?
Nope. Keep guessing. There's only so many colors fire can be.
Mm-hmm.
Is the hottest fire a pink flame?
No. This isn't fun anymore.
Isn't fire?
You made him the winner.
White,
you made him.
White,
you made
hot,
this guy the
white
winner.
Hot fire. White is the hottest.
Hottest this, with a 4 instead of an E.
This is done. Color. Nope. It's white.
Blue is even hotter than white, apparently.
I choose not to believe you. That's the end of the episode.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening to Distractable. Make sure you follow and or subscribe and or plus us on whatever your favorite podcast app is. Then you'll always know when there's a new episode, which you should know anyway because it's always on Mondays. Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Good for you. You know when it is now. Thank you.
I like how you hosted this complete mess of an episode, Bob, and guided us to an ending.
Don't do it.
I have a mission for people at home.
Oh?
If you enjoy Distractable and you want to help spread the word of Distractable, pick your favorite episode and play it for someone when you're in a car ride with someone to make their journey more enjoyable. And then tell them, whisper in their ear, that there are more episodes available on your favorite podcasting site.
Maybe delete all the songs off of their phone or listening device and just put Distractable episodes so they have have to listen to us.
Maybe invest in buying a mountain of old iPhones and putting nothing on them but possibly Spotify or whatever, Apple Podcasts, and downloading in episodes of our podcast and leave them around, plugging them into people's cars or Bluetooth speakers or whatever, just playing Distractable in as many speakers as you can get the phones attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just leave them. You could hide them and you could leave them with their own battery or plug them into a power source so they just play forever.
Or if it's someone's first set as like a DJ or something, they queue up a nice song to get people hyped, and then as the beat drops, they just play an episode of Distractable, and then the crowd's gonna go wild. It's gonna be
Maybe work as a volunteer or get yourself into like a student council position so you have access to an intercom in your school and just play Distractable over the intercom. Or if you're the principal or someone who works there, just put Distractable episodes over the teaching lessons, because it's much more important to listen to us than it is to learn your lessons.
If someone actually hacks their school intercom to play Distractable, I will make an entire video about it.
You heard it here, folks.
No, I don't want to encourage it.
No, yeah.
I don't want to encourage it, actually.
Be delinquent. Break the rules.
Oh, God.
Hacked,
man.
Everything.
In other news, 10 students across 3 states were recently suspended for hacking their school intercoms after being told to do so by these 3 assholes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I didn't say to do it. You guys were.
I didn't say to do anything. It was all Wade.
You're guilty by association. We are one Distractable.
This is the end of the episode now. Thank you, Mark, for being here. Thank you, Wade, for being here. You can find Mark at Markiplier on, you know, YouTube, Twitter.
Good for us.
Find Wade at LordMinion777 on YouTube or Minion777 on Twitch. I'm on Facebook, Meisker, you'll never spell it. Good luck. That's the end.
Good for you.
Thank you, listeners. Good for you for listening to Distractable.
Good for you.
Podcast out.